Man, let's pray.
Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for already making your presence known here as we gather together for you, Lord. God, we have offered up our worship, Lord. We've offered up our love. God, I just pray right now for anyone here that maybe this is kind of new for them, or maybe giving you another shot, Jesus. I just pray right now, Lord, you just open our hearts, Lord God, to see you, to hear your word, to hear your voice. And Lord, let us all, as we go from this place, as we worship and as we learn and grow, Lord Jesus, that we leave here just closer to you and more like you as we go out, Lord Jesus, in love with your heart to our community. And praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are finishing up this Sunday our series that we are calling simply Go. Now, this word go is not something just catchy. You get to put an exclamation point behind. It is actually a call that Jesus has given us to go and to make disciples of all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, if you are here today and you are curious about Jesus and you're checking this out, I am so glad you're here. You're going to hear today, as we finish out this series, a directive that Jesus gives to those who follow him, who are his disciples. And so you may feel like, is this for me? And I'd like to invite you to hear the heart of Jesus, and that is loving and caring. And hear very clearly that we believe that he is the answer to everything. And if that's the case, that we love our neighbor so much that we want to bring him to everyone. And so that's been our call. And it's also been stretching. It's been growing as we've been walking these last 4 weeks. So we learned that we are called to help people become Christ-like, right? But the Holy Spirit fills us and goes with us. We are not alone. And God is doing a new thing, a new and wonderful thing. But let me ask you this. Why do we actually do this? Why do we go? I mean, outside of obedience and maybe a call to go, we bring Jesus to our loved ones, our friends, and our community, not just because we want them to have a better life, but because there's some life-changing power that comes from Jesus that we believe is best for them, that it's actually best for the world. To have a world filled with people Christ-like. And this history altering whenever this happens. See, I believe, and I believe Scripture tells us very clearly, that the primary goal of telling people about Jesus is for the good of another person. Let's say that again. The primary goal of telling people about Jesus is for the good of another person. And see, goodness, we want, when we have something good, we want to pass it on, right? When we have the good stuff, we're like, let me tell somebody about this. Let me tell you about a couple of things. So if you've ever been to any kind of an event at Love Chapel Hill, whether it's been a Sunday morning or otherwise, and if you ever see a baking sheet, a random baking sheet of some kind sitting on a table, that came from Vicky Stocking. And let me tell you, and this crowd over here, you can't burst my bubble, because I know you know the truth, but I have a theory that Vicky Stocking's oven is never off. It is always on, because I've been to her house, and she's just got home from work, and Bob and I are hanging out, and all she's like, just cookies appear. I'm like, freshly baked cookies. I'm like, this is magical. And we all know, if you know, right? You've had Vicky's cookies, her muffins, or her baked goods. Like, we know that's the good stuff. Right? Now, if you've ever been to another event, maybe Lil hasn't been as long for this, but if you've ever been to an event and you've seen Pastor Christie's decorative bowls come in the door, oh, yeah, see, here you go. I know it. Cole knows. Like, there's whatever it is inside those bowls, it's good. It's amazing, right? And if it's the salsa, 100% dive in, two hands, two chip, double chipping, go in. And we know it's the good stuff, right? We know it's the good stuff. And maybe for you, it's your uncle's barbecue. Everybody must have it. It's the best barbecue. Or your mom's pie at Thanksgiving. It must be there because it is the best. And so if you know it's the good stuff, if you know, you know. But these things bring us joy. They bring us happiness. They bring us happy bellies. And I just know I just made all of y'all hungry. And now you're like, hurry up. It's lunchtime. But it's the good stuff. But see, when we are touched by something good, we want to share it. Like, I heard this podcast. It changed my life. You got to listen. I'm going to share it. I read this book or heard this quote. Or this person said this thing. I want you to hear it. I want you to see it. It changed my life. It should change yours too. And I believe the same thing is for us who hold on to Jesus in our hearts. When we hold on to him, we have the good stuff. And what better loving way to love our neighbor, our friends, the strangers, than to give them the good stuff of Jesus. Again, the primary goal of telling people about Jesus is for the good of another person. Not a better life, but a richer, more meaningful, transformed, changed people that walk and live and move and talk and love like Jesus in this world is the best thing that ever can happen. For those who follow Jesus, we have to believe that. But what's stopping your neighbor, your coworker, your mother in Seattle from having Vicky's cookies? What's stopping them, right? No, seriously. They're too far away. They don't know about it. They haven't experienced it, right? It's the same thing for us who know Jesus, who don't know Jesus. There are barriers that hold them from knowing him. And these barriers sometimes can feel very overwhelming. They could feel like, how can we cross these barriers? But let me tell you, they have been around for a long time, and the church is on the move. The church is on the move, and it has been breaking the barriers since the beginning. But love, before we get into how the early church stepped across those barriers and how we carry on in that lineage, let's talk about some of the things that we face today. And maybe number one of the barriers that we find that we might run into is this cultural overfamiliarity. Here's what I mean. Have you ever met somebody who says, yeah, I know the name of Jesus. Yeah, I'm familiar with him. I know the lingo. I know the holidays. I know the basic stories. I said a prayer maybe one time, but there's no relationship. There's no discipleship. There's no stepping in. And there's an assumption of basically saying, I already know everything. And this sometimes comes a barrier. It's like, no, there's more. There's more. We must follow. And then probably something that has been growing in our society probably for the last 25, 35, 40 years is this political and cultural partisanship, where we can't see the real Jesus because of all the agendas and the things that have attached to his name are in the way. And so when people meet us and they say, oh, you're a follower of Jesus, these assumptions get labeled upon us, and you have to like say, no, not that. Let me tell you about the real Jesus. And these are the barriers. People make assumptions based off of this barrier. Or maybe the reality of the hypocrisy and hurt barrier. And this is very real, where there's so many people who have seen the scandals, the judgments, and the unloving behavior of religious communities. And people find it difficult to see Jesus as good news when those in his name are not showing good fruit. You ever run into somebody like that? Or maybe something that's been growing probably in the last 50 years or so, but this hyper-individualism, this self-sufficiency. And on the surface, it sounds amazing, right? The American culture values someone who is self-made, independent, and someone with a special need for personal autonomy and financial comfort. And again, those things don't sound horrible, right? But when life feels stable and successful, and we feel comfortable, the idea of needing a savior feels irrelevant. And Jesus' invitation to surrender and control and finding identity in him clashes with that American dream. It's a barrier. Or lastly, that institutional distrust. And this is probably newer, but this, especially in the younger generations, we're talking about Jesus to people who are young and upcoming. They've grown up in a world with a lot of distrust. Distrust in government and media, corporations, and organized religion. Jesus has become so closely tied to the organized church that skepticism for actually knowing him has set in. And Jesus, the all-loving person that some of us really know, have now been put into a box of organizational structure that represents him. These are the barriers. These are the things we face. And probably as I've mentioned these things, maybe you felt a heaviness and like, yeah, that's, I see that. That's hard. Sometimes I don't know how to tell somebody about Jesus because I know this is present. Because these are real walls. These are real barriers that people to know Jesus need to cross over. But I believe the barriers of the gospel to Jesus are not new. And some from the very beginning of the early church has found resistance and walls to go through and barriers for people to know Jesus. Yet, the church, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has continued and keeps breaking barriers to bring the gospel to people. And so I believe God is not done, so neither are we. God is not done, so neither are we. So let's get to that early church. Let's see how the Holy Spirit crossed those boundaries and those barriers that I believe wholeheartedly that is going to be here for us today. And I believe we are a direct lineage. We are a direct lineage of this movement of the Holy Spirit and the church. So the early book of Acts, where we've already been walking the last few weeks, where Pentecost comes and the church just expands by 3,000 people in one day. And the apostles are teaching and they're creating this new structure of what the church would function, and people are loving and caring for each other and stepping into a new true community of people and growing, and it's very attractual. And what we find is that there's people who struggled with that. There was barriers and they were coming against them, they were persecuting them, they had to go on the run, but it was still on the move. The church kept moving. The church kept moving. And I want to go through a few series in the end of book of Acts where we see the Holy Spirit stepping through. And the first movement I'd love to talk about is, I'm sorry, I'm getting on my notes here, I got a little mixed up, but is Wes, help me, or Christy, give me the next one there. There you go, that's right. Movement number one, the border crossing. Now, couple weeks ago, we talked about this story in Acts chapter 8, where I'll quickly go over it again, but our friend Philip, the church is on the move, and he's the first evangelist, and he steps towards Samaria, a place that needed to know Jesus. Jesus already started to do some work there, but he's going there to tell more people about Jesus. But on the way, the Holy Spirit stops him and sends him to a specific location on a random road. And on that road, a man finds him. The Holy Spirit leads them both together, and this man is from Ethiopia. He is not Jewish. And so here's the context of what this border crossing was so significant. See, the old temple system before Jesus, the only way you could get close to the presence of God was to get to the center of the temple, which was called the Holy of Holies. And if you were not Jewish, the closest you could get was this place called the Outer Gates. You were the farthest away. And all of a sudden, we see this story where Philip meets this man on a road, a man that could not anywhere closer to the presence of God than the outer gates. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit meet them right there on that side of the road, and the man is instantly baptized. See, Philip was willing to go to new places, and the Holy Spirit leading him and going and moving. And, sorry, I found my notes here. But he was baptized on the spot. And so Philip was willing to step into that place, to step out of that cultural understanding, to go and speak. The willingness for him to speak to this man, tell him about Jesus, he could easily said, this is an outer gates person. I need to find somebody like me. But he crossed that barrier. And that barrier was crossed, those cultural barriers are crossed. And this man takes now Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, to his home in Ethiopia. So where are the Philips? Who's willing to go and to show people that this transformed life is for them too? To bring this to people who Jesus calls the lost. Who's willing to go and cross those cultural boundaries, to cross the border? Maybe it's the people who we talked about earlier who have these barriers that's holding onto them. Who's willing to cross the line to go? And then in Acts chapter 10, this is movement number two. And we see Peter has this vision. Peter has this vision. And he is on the roof, and he is hungry, and he takes a nap. And while he takes a nap, the Lord gives him a vision. And he gets this weird vision, and it takes a lot of context to understand it, but he sees this white sheet coming down, and it is described with these four corners. And it's floating down in front of him, and inside the sheet happens to be all these various different kind of animals, some reptiles, some birds, some different kind of mammals. And, you know, Peter's perplexed. He says, what is this? And then God says to Peter in the vision, he says, partake and eat. And you and I thinking like, well, yeah, that sure. You know, maybe cook up some turkey and, you know, that sounds great, right? But in their cultural, Jewish cultural understanding was these things were considered unclean. So Peter's like, whoa, what's happening? Like, God, you're telling me to, no, I'm not supposed to eat. I'm confused. And then Jesus very clearly tells him, he says, Peter, do not call anything impure that I have made clean. He opened the door like, what you have known as culturally not okay, I'm saying it's okay. You're going to open up and you're going to move out. And so here's the cool thing. God wasn't just talking to Peter. At the same time as Peter's having this vision, he's already speaking to a Roman centurion named Cornelius at his home. And the story tells us, we don't get any context why, and it's beautiful that they do, but he and his servants and his family are worshiping God. And an angel of the Lord comes to him and says, go send your servants and find this man named Peter at this specific location at this specific time and send him to my house. And so when Peter comes out of this vision, all of a sudden there's these men saying, hey, come with me. And I mean, talk about surreal for Peter, like what is happening? And so Peter goes with these men. But here's the thing. The vision that God had already given him is already being challenged in his heart. Because for Peter to walk into the home of that centurion, he would be considered unclean. He'd be considered impure because he was going and partaking in a home that was not considered clean, politically and culturally clean. But Peter goes. He struggles with it. He struggles with it, but he crosses that barrier with the power of the Holy Spirit. And this cool story goes this way, that Cornelius and all his family and servants are filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter baptizes everyone, and they're made new. Because Peter was willing to cross that barrier with the Holy Spirit. See, Peter says in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, he says, and he has this realization, he says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. But Peter, led by the Holy Spirit, crossed that barrier God was breaking. Now, Peter could have been caught up in his own theology and said, I don't think this is right. But he stepped in and he took the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles, to the non-Jewish people. And the church is growing. And then he goes back and he tells the church in Jerusalem who were filled that this has happened. And they struggle too. They struggle too. But here's the thing. Where's the Peters? Where are those apprehensive leaders who are willing to go to those places and tell people about the real Jesus? You may have heard of Jesus attached to this agenda or something in this world, and it's confusing. I know that. But let me tell you about who he really is to me. Where are those Peters? Where are the Peters? So Peter, as he goes back and he tells the people, the Jewish church, saying, hey, look, guess what happened? And they're struggling with this. This actually becomes a conversation for years. They struggle with this idea of Gentiles, like they're like, do they need to become Jewish? I mean, it's this whole thing. God is breaking the barriers, and they don't know what to do with it. But while they're having this debate, the movement to all these other different Gentile believers, it reaches this place called Antioch. And in Antioch, this new church is rising up and is filled with all Gentiles. They all are baptized and believing in the Holy, are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're growing. And the church in Jerusalem hears this, and they're like, what do we do about this? And so they sent a man named Barnabas. And Barnabas is a sweet man, the way that kind of describes him. And he goes, and Barnabas is sent to lead the people and to guide them. And what he finds here, we'll read the next scripture. Sorry, my notes got, there's some missing parts. And it says this, it says, news of this reached the church of Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived, he saw what the grace of God had done. He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. And then he says, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. And see, what did he do? He's like, hey, you guys got this. He encouraged them. He didn't need to come in like, I'm going to preach, I'm going to teach, I'm going to set up all these programs. He's like, no, the Holy Spirit is moving and growing. Let's go. Let's go. And the people found him. And after this story here in Acts, the Lord calls him to meet a specific man while he's in Antioch. This man is named Saul. And Saul, who you might know, later changes his name to Paul. And Paul ends up writing most of our New Testament and planting churches and leading our church and writing a lot of our theology. And Paul at that moment was broken. He had persecuted the church. He had killed people, followers of Jesus. And now he's humbled and he finds Barnabas comes and they meet together. And Barnabas brings him into the church in Antioch and they spend a whole year together learning and growing. And eventually Paul starts teaching and growing. And then they send out from there. The encourager Barnabas finds the broken and with the power of the Holy Spirit brings them along and guides them. So where are the Barnabases? Where are the encouragers? The support, the teachers. Where are the Barnabases? Now, when Peter, a little bit later, while this is happening in Antioch, Peter and another church leader named James, they are arrested and they find themselves in prison because they were preaching the name of Jesus and they're being sentenced to death. And while they are in prison, and the church hears about this arrest, and they're worried, rightfully so. And I love this story in Acts chapter 12, where they stop and they pray. In Acts 12:5, it says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Note this, this is verse 5. Because in verse 12, let me tell you what happens in between in a second. Find them still praying. Still on their knees and praying and believing as the church. Because what happens in between is as they're praying, the story goes this way, that Peter and James are in prison and all of a sudden an angel of the Lord comes to them. And he's kind of almost like in a daze, confused, doesn't know if this is real or not, it's a vision or it's real. And in the vision or the reality is they all of a sudden the doors open, they get their stuff and they just walk out. Nobody sees them. Nobody knows what happens. And next thing you know, Peter kind of comes to reality and he's in the street and he's like, I'm free. I'm free. And this is while they're praying. And then Peter goes, he runs real fast to the church where the people are gathered to pray. And then he finds them in verse 12 praying and they celebrate. Where's the praying church? Who's praying to break for freedom and brokenness within our community and our lives and across these barriers that we are gathering today? Where is the praying church? See, again, remember the primary goal of telling people about Jesus is for the good of another person. His primary goal for telling people about Jesus is the good of another person. Now, is that you? Is that us, Love Chapel Hill? Is that who we are? And so I believe there is, who's the people who are reaching your neighbor or your cousin, your coworker? Who's telling them about Jesus? Who's praying for the church, the barriers to be broken? Who's stepping in? Who's willing to go? Love Chapel Hill, I believe that can be us. I believe we can go with the power of the Holy Spirit and cross those barriers and we can fill these seats. You can feel the seats of the churches around, all around us. It doesn't have to be here, but people really fully believing and accepting in Jesus and holding on to him. And I believe we're all called in these different ways. I hope you hear that. It's not one way. Everybody has to do it a certain way, but the Lord calls us in his uniqueness. And I believe wholeheartedly as the Holy Spirit is filling you, you feel that connection to the way that God is calling you and calling you into this. There's no right or wrong way. It is just following him. May the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you into this mission. Take that step and say yes. And say, send me. I will go. I will go. I will go. I love to pray for us today as we are being sent out to go. And I believe that the Lord and the Holy Spirit be with us. If you're not even from here, or you're wherever you're from, that the Lord will take this with you. If you're a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will fill you and take you to your neighbors, to the people you don't know. But there are people that the Holy Spirit is calling each one of us to reach and to bring to Jesus. Lord Jesus, I pray now for each one of us. Lord Jesus, you are very clear you gave a call to go. And God also is very clear that we, just like the early church, have found a lot of barriers, a lot of reasons why we shouldn't do it, or a lot of reasons why we might be rejected. And God, I just pray right now for everyone here who hears this voice, who hears this message today, Lord, that you give them the encouragement that they need. You give them the hope that they need. You give them the peace that they need. Lord, you give them the words and the actions that we need. And God, I pray mostly, Lord, that each one of us open up our hearts to say yes to you, to step into that, Lord Jesus, your calling, and to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you might find in front of you there's some little index cards with a pen. They're kind of under the seats. Feel free to grab one. In a moment, we're going to sing a song. And when we sing, it's just not a song. What we're offering is a prayer. Words to our Father. Words to God. And we're going to sing this song called Send Me. These are powerful words. I say, actually, be very careful. If you don't really mean it, don't sing it. Don't say it because it is real. When we say, send me. So I'd love to invite you to take those cards. And if the Lord has put it in your heart already, or maybe it's something you're asking the Lord for, I'm going to ask you to write. How am I called to go? Am I an encourager? Am I a prayer warrior? Am I a preacher? Am I an encourager? Whatever it is, wherever the Lord is calling you, you know what it is in your heart. Write it down. And then, right down below it, Lord, where are you sending me? Where are you sending me? And I want you to take that card and keep it with you. Put it in your Bible. Put it on your desk. Put it in your mirror in front of the, when you're getting ready in the morning, and ask that question. Say, I'm an encourager. Where are you sending me? Who do I need to encourage today? If I'm a prayer warrior, who do I need to pray for today? If I need to go and cross some barriers and boundaries, who am I sent to, Lord, today? I just want to encourage you to say yes. Say yes. So as you take the moment to fill this out and to respond to the Lord in that, we're going to sing this song. But accept it as a prayer to the Lord. If you really mean it, say this word, send me. Send me.